and welcome to Adventures in Gabysitting, chronicling the highs and lows of coming out of the closet and having your first baby at the age of 40. Pass the lube and diaper cream, things are about to get filthy. My name is Documenta Barbarism, the oomph girl.
And I'm Shannon Corder, the wind blowing through your hair. I am the who when you say who's there, and I just realized I fucked that up. I'll just leave.
You want to take two?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, take two.
And I am Shannon Corder. I am the wind blowing through your hair. I am the who when you say who's there.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what you said the first time.
No, I didn't say I am the first time.
Oh, God.
I mean, I said I am.
What is that?
It's from Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Halloween.
Cute. Oh, and topical.
Yeah.
Precious.
I was like going back and forth on if it was cool. But then I was like, you can't do it after today. So you have to do it now.
Well, there you go. You could actually do it for Christmas because it's the eternal argument. Is it a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
Oh, yeah. Who says it's a Christmas movie? These people are stupid.
I don't know, fucking millennials. Who gives a shit?
By the way, speaking of millennials, don't ever insult Hocus Pocus to a millennial.
Oh, no, especially a gay millennial.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what happened.
Really? Tell me.
Okay, so Dr. Ian Malcolm, who is now what I'm calling my husband because it just suits him better, and it's also funny to say Dr. Ian Malcolm was changing F. Murray Abraham's diaper. We
love it.
We sort of wanted it to be Tits McGee. So I don't know. I might just throw in Tits McGee every now and then, although that's confusing because people will assume that's me.
Why not just make it something different every time?
I could do that. Well, it depends on how many funny ones I can come up with, I guess. So this week, Dr. Ian Malcolm, now I already forgot what I was. Oh, yeah. He had never seen Hocus Pocus. And if you have not, it's one of those things where if you didn't see it in childhood and then you did see it as an adult, you're like, what? Because you didn't grow up going amok, 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 amok. Which was, turns out, kind of the only part that I remembered when I rewatched it. I was like, huh. Okay. But, you know, I still enjoy it because it's like wacky and whatever. But then he talked to his brother and was like, I don't get it. What? And then like his brother was mad at him for like a week and wouldn't talk to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing it when it came out, and I actually remember really liking it. So we would have been like 15, I think, when it came out. But yeah, millennials, I watched it as an adult and I just don't get it either. It's not good.
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, that trio of actresses is amazing. And I mean, I guess at least two out of the three are gay icons.
Well, how the fuck are you otherwise?
I'm good. I got a new water filter. In case people were worried.
Yay! I was. I'm so glad that I've already had this podcast is already changing lives.
Yes, it is.
Have you noticed a change? Does the water taste any different?
I guess. I don't know. This just makes me feel better. It comes out a little faster. Does that mean it's broken? I'm not sure. Our faucet's all weird.
Oh, no. That probably means whatever was in it was gummy and... like
ooh,
back
I didn't
washy.
Think of that. Oh,
yeah,
I just
you
thought
probably,
that it was
probably
like
a
wrong...
bacteria farm.
Gross.
No, I don't, maybe. Yeah.
Well, again, lest everyone think I'm an nth degree horrible mom and just a sort instead of a basic horrible mom, we were boiling the water before. So hopefully the bacteria farm was murdered.
It's a Giardia free zone.
Yeah, sure. Whatever that is. Is it the thing that gives you?
I don't know. All I remember is I didn't know what it was either till we went on our like Boy Scout whitewater rafting adventure trip when I was 14. And that it's the
and that's when you found out you were gay.
No, but that is when I maybe I should save this for butt stuff. But no, I did that was the last time I went an entire week without pooping because we had to, you have to, you know, cart your poop out. So there's just a bucket, which they called the honey bucket.
Oh, no.
Which just,
you couldn't,
it's sealed.
Bury it. You couldn't bury it in the dirt or something?
No, you would think so. But I guess the correct way to do it is to cart it out just to be, to have as light a footprint as possible. So I went the whole week. I refused to shit in that little white bucket that everyone else was shitting in.
Oh God!
So I went a whole week without pooping. And then when, by the time we got back to the church, we just, I remember me and a couple other guys were just in the bathroom shitting for like 10 minutes straight.
How many stalls were there?
Barely enough.
Oh my God.
It was the best shit of my life. Like, I still remember that was, what, 27 years ago? I still remember that feeling of relief.
Wow, that's amazing. I have a best shit of my life story, too, but I'll save it for a couple of butt stuffs from now.
For a couple of butt stuffs? Okay.
That's yeah, because it deserves its own segment. We'll just have a best shit of my life segment.
That's great. I love it. A one-time deal? Perfect.
Yeah. It needs a jingle.
Shit of my life.
If you had been a campfire girl, or I guess it was campfire boys and girls by the time I joined, we were allowed to bury our poop. as far as I know, I think that's what I remember doing. I certainly don't remember carrying a bucket around, but we did have to pack out the toilet paper.
So it's still, regardless, it's unpleasant and filthy.
Yeah. Ugh, but pooping in a bucket.
No, not feeling it. Nope. That was the trip that we made up. That was the trip that me and that friend that we haven't decided if we're allowed to name on the pod yet made up the alternate lyrics to Castle. Wait, what's the
Castle on a Cloud?
Castle in the Clouds? Castle on a Cloud. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's hear them. Give our listeners the original lyrics.
Shoot, I know. I shouldn't have brought it up because I don't know if I can even remember.
I remember two of them.
You do it because I
don't remember the original.
I remember
lyrics,
there's a lute.
Yes,
I know. So there's she's nice to see and she's is it that part and she's
soft
to touch.
She says, Cosette, I love you very much.
Yes, okay, that part I remember, but I don't remember our lyrics exactly.
Okay, I remember. She's nice to see and she's sorry. It's still funny after all this. She's nice to see, and she plays the lute. She says, Cosette, your mom's a prostitute.
That's true, yes.
It's oh, true, God. She's a prostitute.
The rhyme is airtight. Yes. The prosody, the rhyme, it is perfect. Stephen Sondheim wishes. Well, okay, now I do remember the other one. Do you remember the alternate?
I remember, she's nice to see, and she's something, and she's nice, I think. Or something, like, that's the lyric.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
She's
no, that's
nice,
right. I forgot that one.
I think.
She says, Cosette, go take a bath, you stink. The alternate for the lute prostitute one was, she's nice to see?
I guess. That doesn't make sense.
Is that what it is? She's nice to see and she plays the lute. She says, Cosette, your mother plays the lute too.
Okay, now I remember that. Oh my God.
Took a step in a surrealist direction there.
Do you want me to ask that person if we
Yes, but can I give- think if we are allowed to talk about them?
Yeah.
Yes, because I think if we do, we have to. I mean, that person, they are the third leg on the stool.
Song lyrics. I mean, well, us saying that, everyone that knows us knows who it is already.
Yeah, but also so we can come up with a good name, an alternate name for them.
Yes. I did speak with
for now
some
we'll call
of,
them Tits McGee.
Okay, Tits McGee. There we go. I did speak with a couple other of our friends, one who would like to be kept out of things very nicely.
Okay.
And Stephanie says we can say whatever about her. And I was like, good, because all of the best stories are about her. She doesn't want to pseudonym.
Who was it? Well, I guess you can tell me after. You can either tell me after who it was.
You can't read my lips.
Or you can say it. No, your camera went off.
Oh, it's too bad because it looks really funny what I'm doing right now. Yeah, I'll tell you later.
I don't know any Mortimers.
Any Mortimers? Was that one of the olive oil family? Mortimer oil?
No, I don't think so.
Motor oil? I don't know.
Well, we're doing fine here. Thanks for asking.
Mm. Wait, I'm not done though.
Oh, good. Okay, well, what? Keep going then. I'm so sorry I stepped on your line.
No, I was going to tell you that I listened to your other podcasts and they were quite delightful.
Oh, thank you.
And that I really loved, I don't want to make it too meta where we're just talking about the other podcasts on every other podcast, but I did.
I do.
Okay. I did really enjoy hearing you interact with Dingle Mary, and I can't believe how like old and smart and funny he is. I mean, not that I was expecting him to not be funny or to be boring or stupid or something, but I just keep thinking of him as being 2 years old and playing in my grandma's bathtub.
Oh,
I think we have a photo of that somewhere.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it crazy? He's like a man. He's like a little man.
And it's his birthday this weekend or last weekend?
Yep. This weekend, he's turning 16.
Aw, happy birthday, Dingle Mary.
I know. So, in fact, Dingle Mommy is here right now.
Hi, Dingle Mommy.
Not here.
Yeah, well.
She's not like hiding under the table.
That would be awkward. In the Frank Moore podcast, you guys, I looked up the paintings while you were talking about them, which I regretted immediately. No, just kidding. The one with the arms, the arm that has all the branches growing out of it, or yeah, the leaves, makes me feel kind of itchy. But debutantes, when you guys were talking about, you were having him guess what the pair of anguish was. Yeah. And before you got to that, I thought it was a speculum. Do you know what a speculum is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totes.
And then I was like, well, I wasn't very far off. This is really kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it was the speculum of death.
Yes, but it's redundant to say speculum of anguish.
I can imagine.
Yes.
I know, and it was so random that, like, what are the chances that I would find out exactly what that exact object is, an object that I had never heard of or noticed before, and then I have just happened to watch a movie that's literally, that not only tells me what it is, but shows me how to use it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part. That is weird.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul Verhoeven.
So, hey, Documenta, how are you doing? How is your fortnight?
I'm fine.
Yeah, not the game, but... The last 2 weeks. That's it. No, just, I'm fine.
We are great. Yeah. Thanks for asking, I guess. Nothing to report. No, we're good. And thank you for bringing up the other ones and for listening. Thank you to everyone out there in Radioland, too, who is listening. I've actually gotten some really great feedback. And I know it's like from, I hear F. Murray Abraham.
It's the beta. Yeah, it's cute now. Aww, just wait.
Yeah. But I've really, you know, people have been reaching out and, you know, I know it's just friends and I know they're all going to be nice and supportive anyway. And that, you know, once it goes out into the real world, that will be the test. But I've gotten a lot of very lovely messages. Exactly. It's been very gratifying. And we almost have, I mean, for a small outfit, we've almost surpassed 300 total downloads in 3 weeks,
oh,
which is not
great.
So bad.
That is awesome. You know they're good friends if they keep listening past the first week.
Yeah, that's what's been amazing. I'm like, really? Like, you listen to it and then listen to the next one? So it's been wonderful to put something out in the world and get such immediate feedback, even if it is from my friends and loved ones. In some cases, though, it is from people I haven't talked to much in a while, certainly since before the pandemic. So it's been, even just for reconnecting with people, it's been fabulous.
That is very cool. Thank you, listeners. And what is What does Dingle Mary say? Thank you, future listeners, for your Patreon
future
contributions.
Future Patreon subscribers. He's so funny because he listens to a lot of podcasts, Dungeons and Dragons themed.
Oh,
so he's got a very specific idea in his head of what a podcast is, and it's cute to see him try to reconcile that and to recreate that as we're speaking. You know, when he puts on his podcast voice. It's fun.
I assume you can hear that.
Yes, that is so cute. Yes. I love it. We, Dingle Mommy and Dingle Mary and I, we're heading up to Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine this weekend.
Ooh, how white.
I know. And how extortionate. Luckily, my dad had some hotel points to use because we couldn't find, so we were going to go to Burlington first. We couldn't find a single Airbnb or hotel for under $400 a night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the friggin' Courtyard Inn by the Marriott Courtyard Inn in Portland, Maine. It's like $790 a night this weekend.
Even during the pandemic?
Yes. It's because I think prices have gone up a little bit anyway, but it's the fall foliage months is apparently their big time of year. But yeah, that I was shocked.
You were shocked.
Like, how can that be legal? I was shooketh. But luckily, my dad has a ton of hotel points, so we're still able to go and look at all the pretty leaves, and it'll be nice. We're trying to, I try to make as many of these memories of just the three of us post-divorce as we can, so it's not just all the good times aren't in the past. All the good times are in the present and the future as well.
I love that for you. I love that journey for
Thanks.
You. No, that is really cool. I like it. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by my own child.
So how are things in parent land? How have you fucked up F. Murray Abraham this week?
He's more fucking us up, I would say. I'll save a little bit of this for later, but he is very sweet and very violent. Unintentionally so. It's not like he's torturing cats and dogs. He just does not realize when he crawls on you and puts his whole weight on your leg, he's leaving little bruises. Or it's funny, before I had kids, I had a friend that told me how her daughter, when she was a baby, reached into my friend's mouth and scratched the inside of her mouth with her nails. And at the time, I remember thinking, like, everything in the universe must have just lined up just right for that really weird one-time thing to happen. And it's happened like so many times. They're just like, what does this feel like? And then they claw you, and he's done the same thing to insides of nostrils. And, he's bonked me in the face with his head a bunch. I'm sure Bonk Man did that. But one time,
oh yeah,
he hit me in the nose so hard. I was sure I was going to have a bloody nose.
Has he done that thing yet where he's like facing away and you're trying to constrain him? He's probably not big enough for this yet, but they do when you're trying to constrain him and they face away. And so they start like throwing their head back, you know, and throwing their like chest out to try to break free. Has he done that yet? And
yes.
You in the face?
Well, he does the backwards arch thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't see any of that.
I wish this were a visual medium.
Flash dance. Okay, just imagine that. He does the flash dance for sure. He's definitely, he did bite my nipple once, and I don't breastfeed.
That's hot.
So, but it always happens just out of the blue. Like, he's so crafty and so fast. And then we have this little book that's like, you know those books that have like a puppet inside? So it's like the Itsy Bitsy Spider, but then you have your fingers in the
spider.
Yeah, he loves that. And then he was like, oh, let's see what that tastes like. And then chomped down on the spider, but I wasn't fast enough and still had my fingers inside. So I was like,
ooh, yeah.
And he laughs, of course, when we yell out in pain. The other thing is he doesn't know the difference between laughing and crying. And so there's been a couple of times when I've just been like sobbing and he goes, like a little asshole. Like he's like, I love your tears. But I guess I'm glad that he can't tell.
Maybe he does know the difference. You're assuming a lot about his subjectivity.
That is very true.
Do you cry in front of him often?
Well, the room, the apartment is just one room. So if crying's happening, it's going to happen in front of him. And we're in the middle of a global pandemic and I have a baby. So yes. No, I don't know. Not as often as before I got like my meds figured out for postpartum depression. And then
I think it's good that you cry in front of him. And I don't think there's anything wrong. A lot of people refuse to cry in front of their kids. I think it's obviously if you're crying every day, all day in front of them, that probably would be a lot for them. But yeah, no, mm-hmm. I think it's great. I try to cry in front of Dingle Mary whenever I can, which is not very often, but I do.
Because your heart is so hard.
Truly.
It takes a lot. Yeah. I like that. I like that perspective. I certainly want to validate his emotions and not say, I certainly never want to say, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about, which is certainly nothing I ever heard growing up. But
no, not at all.
You know, different times. I thought of it from that point of view. And I hadn't really thought about modeling my own emotions and talking about my own emotions, but that makes sense and is a good way to teach empathy.
If you live in the greater New York area or have a good microphone and would like to share your story on Closet Practice, anonymously or not, message me on Twitter at DocumentaB, on Instagram at DocumentaBarbarism, online at DocumentaBarbarism.com, or by email to buttstuff@DocumentaBarbarism.com, with only one A in barbarism. That's DocumentaBarbarism. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to House of Barbarism on your pod thingy of choice so you don't miss a single episode of Adventures in Gabysitting and Closet Practice every Monday, and Documenta and Son every Thursday.
I had some sixth sense moments for you.
Okay.
Because that's weird. But it's like going back and being like, oh, he was gay the whole time.
Okay, got it.
And it weren't necessarily, oh, I should have realized then that he was gay, because I mean there's a lot of boring stuff like that, like, oh, he liked musical theater and so and so. And I remember once or twice in high school, because remember in high school, well, maybe this is still the case, but at least my mental orientation was such that if you said that someone was gay, that was like an insult. Not just like, oh, that's so gay, but if you suggested that someone was gay. So there were a couple of times when people, and I don't remember who, suggested that you were gay. And I was like, shut up. No, he's not. And I defended you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
From being gay.
But, well, you didn't try hard enough, bitch.
I guess so.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, you still chose to be gay later on. So you're gay now. But I remember a time, I think it was when I visited you in college or right after college, that we were driving through your town and you drove by like a porn store and you honked really loud.
Out here in where I live now?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, you came out here? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember that.
And yeah, remember the time that Kathleen Turner glared at you because you clapped louder for Alicia Silverstone than her?
That's right. She's like, I just showed you my bush and this is what I get. This is how you repay me.
Can this episode be Kathleen Turner's bush?
Yes. And I mean, let's not even say it was in a play. Let's just pretend that she just flashed me bush.
Okay.
While Alicia Silverstone was walking by.
Yeah. Remember that time that Kathleen Turner showed you her bush and then you didn't even clap, you asshole. I gave her bush a little pity clap.
I still remember that thing she was wearing. I can still see it like sliding off, and like I remember the audience stunned. Somehow they must not have known or heard that Kathleen Turner went full frontal in the play of The Graduate.
I thought that's why everybody went. Wasn't that the draw? I mean, besides Alicia Silverstone. I don't remember
for
what
me,
she's,
it wasn't.
I don't remember what she was wearing. I just remember her naked. And I'm sure that says a lot about both of us.
You
remember.
But you remember it was like super low lights. Like you could almost, like it was almost so dark you could barely even see anything.
I think I'm misremembering it. I think I just replaced it in my mind with a naked woman, like generic naked woman. Broad shouldered.
Probably. I remember every detail. Anyway, so that trip, we were driving by. I know the porn shop you're talking about.
Yes. And you would honk and be like, oh, I do that. We always do that so that the perverts think that someone they know sees them there or something, so that people.
No. Could I have told on myself with any louder of a megaphone? Why didn't I should have just like jumped up on the hood of the car and started doing jazz hands and a tap routine. Oh my God.
I just thought you were a judgy Mormon.
Such a cliche. Oh my God. Such a fucking cliche.
You fucking perverts.
When really the pervert I wanted to honk at was myself.
That's right. You gave a little beep to the pervert inside. You could also call it. I'm torn now between Kathleen Turner's bush and the pervert inside.
The pervert inside.
The pervert inside Kathleen Turner's
Kathleen
bush.
Turner's bush.
Oh, God. Lordy yeah, I was Lord. Driving by a porn store. There's a lot of both in Los Angeles. Because my veterinarian is on the way. There is a porn shop, which I don't know how porn shops are getting any business right now when everything's free online, but I was driving by it and then all of a sudden it just popped in my head and I remember you honking at the perverts.
I had been in that shop already at that point.
Aha.
And why the reason that shop stays open is because it had viewing booths.
Oh. I
and
assume you were
see
there
where this is headed.
To see, yes, Kathleen Turner's bush.
Yeah. Where let's just say there's not a lot of viewing going on in the viewing booths.
I see. Well, just to be clear, I'm not seeing this happening right now. That makes it sound like.
I see. I'm demonstrating.
So what you're saying is it was. Oh, we should make this visual. Everybody at home, just imagine a Muppet giving a blowjob. And that's what's happening. The world's most exaggerated.
Oh my Lord.
Muppety blowjob.
I thought I was underplaying it, to be honest. Yep. I knew what was going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
Firsthand. Yep.
So that was definitely some like self-loathing.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Self-loathing mixed with overcompensating to make mm-hmm. sure there was no doubt. Yes, ma'am.
I think I had some other Sixth Sense moments. I remember visiting you and Tits McGee during...
Wait, I forgot. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. We really do need to come up with a name for them because now I have no idea who the fuck we're talking about.
You don't want to keep it, Tits McGee?
No, because you're right. You, if anyone in the world or in our lives would be Tits McGee.
It would be me. Yeah. I got a burp. I'm going to burp off mic. Sorry. Oh my God. I'll leave it up to you whether you want to keep that.
That was a burp?
What else would it sound like?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't dare say.
I was so tired and scattered all day, and I told myself once I started the podcast that I would just have all this energy, and then I would just suddenly, my mind would be sharp, and that is not happening. So I remember visiting you in college, and you had dyed your hair, and you were wearing like a leather jacket. Actually, I have this little photo that's on my desk that I don't know if you can see. It's like,
I can't see you right now, but I know the exact, the photo where we're in Temple Square, right?
Yeah.
In Temple Square in front of the Christmas lights.
Yeah. And you have that little porny mustache.
I send it to you in Tits like once a year.
Yes. Yes. it's a great photo. And I had so much fun that weekend. Like, it was one of my most fun weekends ever. But I just remember feeling like you were really feeling yourself, I guess. I was impressed that you had sort of like claimed a style or something like that. I don't know. And I mean, clearly you hadn't come out of the closet or anything, but I guess you were probably playing around with your look and your identity a little bit, because that's what everyone does in college. But I don't know. Do you remember that at all? Like, and I remember at the time I wasn't like, oh, he's acting gay or dressing gay or anything. I just thought you had a chosen aesthetic, I guess I'll say.
That's interesting, because I remember the exact moment you're talking about. That was when we went up to Stephanie's in Logan for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I connected that to my gay identity at all at that point for me, because it was more about feeling so like I was drowning almost in the sea of normativity that is Brigham Young University.
Uh-huh.
And having to set myself apart somehow, pushing the BYU dress code to its limits.
Yes. Like
you could have a mustache. You could have a mustache, but it couldn't go past the corners of your mouth. You couldn't have a beard. And you could have dyed hair, but not any weird colors.
Uh-huh.
So I literally pushed the dress code up to its limits. For me, it was more about the stifling sameness, vanilla-ness of BYU.
Yeah.
More than it was tying my sartorial ambitions to my gay identity.
Yeah. Well, I still see those things as linked, I think.
Totally. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. But for me, in my mind, because I was still so deeply closeted,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't necessarily at the time. For me, it was about an expression of, it was that more adolescent thing of, I'm an individual. This is how I express myself. Though that was one of the last times I tried to actually make it work at BYU. And I moved back home 2 months later.
Yeah, I don't think it was a good fit.
No. There weren't enough porn shops with viewing booths in Utah.
There was nobody for you to honk at.
Enough.
I read some article about how it seems like the Mormon kids these days are, some of them are doing some cool stuff. Well, this story is about erasure, literally, because people were drawing supportive sidewalk chalk art, which is like the cutest, most benign thing in the world, and also very Mormon. Like, the only way it could be more Mormon is if there were if there was like a board game night with awkward sexual tension. But you
on
know
Taco Tuesday
on Taco Tuesday. But like, yeah, so every night apparently the school would erase it at like 4 a.m, but nobody actually saw it. Like, it was a big enough deal that it made national news, but apparently no one was there to take pictures of it being erased or something. I don't know. Uh-huh. And then also they were told that they couldn't do that on the school property because it's technically private prop or something. So then they started doing it around the fringes of the school. And I think I don't know if it was the school doing it. It could just be some other assholes.
Yeah, that's even if it's not, it's someone clearly empowered by the school that clearly understands that there will be no barrier to them.
Yeah,
that they're doing the school's and the Lord's work.
Right.
There's actually a whole documentary about that, about LGBTQ students at BYU called Same Sex Attracted. Oh. It's actually really good. It's made by these students, and it's actually really good and really affecting. And it really is amazing how, even though little has actually changed mm-hmm. for queer students at BYU, I can't even imagine them doing any of the things these students do 20 years ago when we were there.
Yeah.
The way that they really, of course, the school pushes back with the full force of the church and everything they do. But these kids, they're just so committed, and they really are just fighting to be seen and to be trans. It's not just gay. It's not just lesbian. Trans kids who really, more than any other of the queer, many queer subgroups, really challenge LDS beliefs, like core Mormon beliefs about personhood, about gender, about eternal destiny. They really challenge and fuck with that in a way that so many people in the church find unpalatable, and they're really brave. And yeah, like I get chills even just thinking about, but also at the same time, it gives me real anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I was so small and so closeted and so shrunk inside myself when I was there that I can't even imagine.
Can trans men hold the priesthood, but trans women can't? Have they decided which of the groups that they're going to oppress? I'm just kidding. I'm sure none of them can.
No, of course, none of them can. No, they can't. I mean, they're not. They're still decades away from even crossing that threshold.
I don't know why it never occurred to me that there would be out trans Mormons. That just seemed like a step too far for me. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying I can't imagine anybody having the gonads to do that, whichever gonads they were assigned at birth. So are these students that, and I'm sure that it's not, I'm sure that it's split, but are they trying to make it work in the church? Are they trying to stay in the church?
Some are. In the documentary, it seemed, I don't remember specifically, it's been a few months since I've seen it. Some really do. Some really try to reconcile. And I've met people that are out and openly gay and go with their spouse, gay men who go with their spouse to church.
Well, I love that.
And are often embraced.
I'm sure that it makes everybody so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine an environment where cishet women have to wear a skirt. And then, like, two gay guys show up holding hands. I don't know. And isn't there like a sort of offshoot, like, gay church that, like, that people have made up on their own, obviously not officially sanctioned? Because I've heard up by Magic Mountain here in LA, it's like 45 minutes, an hour north of where I am, in Valencia, I heard somebody say that there's like a gay Mormon church. And I'm always like, just leave the church. But I mean,
I personally don't get it, but there are people for whom their faith is, it's just so central to who they are. And
yeah.
They just got to make it work however they can, as central as their queer identity. Personally, I don't get it. More power to them. I wouldn't want to devote even one more iota of energy to trying to make that whole shenanigan work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have not heard about the gay Mormon church in Valencia, and that is intriguing, I need to look it up.
Every time that we mention something like a pop culture thing or a gay Mormon church in Valencia or Kathleen Turner's bush... Well, not that specifically, but I just keep thinking about how you're going to have to look up a link later to put in the episode page.
Yep, pretty much.
I'm just going to start throwing things in there.
So now, what is the weirdest thing that you Googled this week?
I Googled, is it safe to put ice on testicles? I hope that we don't have the same one. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, that's so weird. No, I already know the answer to that question.
So is it pleasurable anyway? So one of the ways that F. Murray Abraham constantly injures my husband is frequent kicks in the balls. But this one day he just like jumped in the air and then just came down with his full weight on his left testicle. And it was, I was like just about to sign into a Zoom meeting for work. And I couldn't, he was just like just bent over crying, like just like tears leaking out of his eyes. And I was like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And so we were like, what do we do? And I just knew that in the movie Tommy Boy, there's a joke where Dan Aykroyd says, like, here's some champagne, use the ice for your balls or whatever. Because Rob Lowe gets his...
Dan Aykroyd is not in Tommy Boy.
Yes, he is. He's at the end for like 5 seconds.
Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd.
He is?
Yeah, he talks like...
You're right. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Know-It-All.
No, it's okay. It's easy to forget because he's in it for like 30 seconds.
So what was the answer?
Yes, it is. It was for a variety of reasons, and it seemed to help. And I actually had this breast ice pack that I keep in the freezer, actually for my knees, because I'm old and a parent. I forget to keep including it material about how I'm an old parent. I mean, we're both the same age, but you know, I got started late, and that's the point of the podcast. And I never mentioned that, but now I can say
it's subtext. They
my
know.
Knees hurt, and I put breast pads in my knees. So I was like, hey, I have a breast pad for that. You can also microwave
them.
That
is very brave of you.
Yes. So anyway, I believe that it helped, but it's still...
Was it swollen?
I will ask and follow up with you later. I didn't see it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not saying I've never seen it. I'm saying at this time, it didn't happen while naked or anything.
Right.
But again, I'm sure that... Okay, well... I'm sure F. Murray Abraham had a good laugh about it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's what we do. That's what he does.
Knowing full well what he did.
Yeah.
So I've got, actually have four this week. I'll go through them quickly. Two of which are genital related.
Okay.
One was, and if you listen to our two episodes ago of, no, the most recent episode that just came out last Thursday of, so today while we're recording for us, but that came out last Thursday of Documenta and Son, I Googled which Armstrong was missing a ball.
As in Lance?
Well, yes, that's what we discovered.
Okay.
If you haven't listened to that yet, listeners, go back and listen to why we needed to know, because we cycled through both Louie and Neil before realizing it was
cycled.
Lance.
Ayo.
I also Googled genitals synonym. That one was for an article I'm writing.
Okay. Is that a drag
queen
name?
Basically. Genital synonym. I love it. Another was pink fur artificial Christmas tree, because I saw a pop-up ad for one of those. Did you know they have like pink artificial Christmas trees?
I've seen them, but I haven't seen fur, artificial fur.
They're
I'm
so beautiful. Yes.
Well, now
so
I will have to Google it
one.
Too, and you'll have to look up a link and put it in. The episode notes.
Okay, I will. It was a Wayfair ad.
No shirtless right. men?
No, there were some, but I just didn't include them this week. It was the one I remember was Jamie Bell.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, uh-huh. He's got a couple movies where he gets naked in. It's cool. Right on. It's awesome.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then for our final segment, we are introducing a new one this week that is called Dear Skinny People. It's a little off topic, a little off brand for the pod, because it's not explicitly about having a baby or coming out of the closet after 40, but we're both fat and we've got feelings about it, and we have feelings about the way fat people and versus skinny people move through the world. Okay, here we go. Dear skinny people, we are not your worst case scenarios. Fatness is as much a sign of failure as Starbucks's unicorn frappuccino was milked from the teats of real unicorns.
I thought you were going to say that the unicorn frappuccino was a sign of failure, and I was going to have some words for that.
Well, it was, but that's okay. We've already lost enough millennials tonight. So what prompted that, though, was there's this book, you know, part of my coming out experience, part of the way I've been acclimatizing and catching up is through reading as many books as I can get my hands on. And I found this book called Out in Time that had some good reviews by Perry N. Halkitis, who is dean and professor at the School of Public Health at Rutgers University. For over two decades, Dr. Halkitis's program of research has examined the intersection of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. Anyway, so he's doing important research, you know. And this book is about, the subtitle is The Public Lives of Gay Men from Stonewall to the Queer Generation. So I was like, okay, that sounds cool. That sounds great. And then in the introduction, I think he's like a therapist or psychologist of some sort too. So he sprinkles quotes from clients and patients throughout. And one of the stories about coming out that he includes in the introduction goes like this. I take great pride in being a gay man. I don't think that I would have had the success I've had in life without being a gay man. And the reason I say that is that if I had stayed where I was, rural Pennsylvania, I probably would be, if I were alive, I'd be fat, out of shape, with a wife I hated, and three kids, and I would be teaching high school chemistry in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. Not a great future, not a great life.
Yeah,
I also don't think my life would ever have been examined. So, you know, clearly I take some issue with this as someone who did live this horrible dystopian future that he imagined.
Right.
It's just, it was shocking to me that this person, this Perry N. Halkitis, this distinguished leader in the gay community, if he is such, would include this. And this is in the very introduction. So this is only a few pages into the book. And it just reminded me, in case I had forgotten, how little fatness is valued and how low it is looked on in all communities and all walks of life, but especially with gay people, gay men. Like, it's, yes, I do have regrets sometimes, you know, about the choices I made, about the life I've lived, you know, over the last 20 years. But this idea that, and of all the things that he lists, fatness is the very first one.
Yes.
You know, fatness is the worst thing that he can think of, even worse than having a wife and a kids and a job he hates. The number one sign that he would have failed and miserable is being fat. Come on, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And also, obviously, there's no fat gay men.
Right.
Yeah. Once you come out of the closet, this is better than taking Fen-Phen. Like, you just immediately shed all that weight.
I know. That's how it's happened for me.
That's funny. Now that you mention it, I remember reading an article about Mormon housewives and depression and how Mormon women, because you were basically a Mormon housewife who was depressed.
Pretty much. No, truly. Yeah. She was working most of the time. I was the one raising the kid.
And how, like, they couldn't turn to any substance abuse. So they just ate a lot of chocolate, which led to, you know, a Mormon housewife obesity epidemic or something, some bullshit like that. It is always. In fact, I was just reading this parenting book because I am addicted to parenting books. And I was so excited to read this book. It's called The Danish Way of Parenting. And it's all about how they're so happy in Denmark. And one of the things that they said compared to the U.S. is that kids in the U.S., and they quoted the percentage of kids that are obese and the percentage of kids that take Ritalin. And so I want to keep reading the book, but I hate the words, the obesity epidemic. I don't know if you know this, but there was a point in time where the like whoever is in charge of the BMI scale and saying this is what obese is, this is what morbidly obese is, etc., that changed. Somebody changed that, and that's when the obesity epidemic started. So there suddenly was a whole bunch of people obese all at one time, and it's just because like the measurements changed. I know.
And don't even get me started on BMI. BMI is bullshit.
Yeah.
Measurement in the first place from early 19th century.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with what it gets used for.
Right. What you really want to look at is dick size.
Yeah. No, actually, I know that's not, doesn't, I don't work out. That doesn't work out well for me either.
Is that why you got me the biggest microphone possible? You're overcompensating.
May have been overcompensating. Yeah.
But yeah. And then also I have ADD and I take great umbrage with people saying that children are misdiagnosed. People are like, just let the kids be kids, because my life would have been way different if I'd been diagnosed earlier with ADD. Women are often overlooked. People of color are overlooked because they assume that the ADD symptoms are, you know, the way that young white boys present ADD symptoms is the way that everyone presents ADD symptoms. And
right.
So actually mostly underdiagnosed, but anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but I was just so pissed and I'm so
no, I get it.
I'm so tired of fatness, like you said, being it's like it's listed up there, like, you know, people that eat cupcakes more. Well, maybe cupcakes isn't a good example, but it's like when people are trying to show cause and effect or something to say that something is bad, it's like higher rates of unemployment, higher rates of depression and fatness, you know, like it's something has to be wrong in your life for you to be fat. It couldn't possibly be, you know, your genetic makeup or your set weight point or, you know, whatever.
Or the fucking society in which you live, in which it's almost impossible to get healthy ingredients in an affordable way, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as though it has anything to do with the individual at all. But needless to say, I only held on to this book so I could bitch about it. I didn't read past that, and I will be burning it.
All right. You're not going to eat it? Because you can't no, stop yourself from eating everything.
All right. Well, I think we should wrap it up. So where can people find you if they want to meet you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at ShenaniganC. I'm on Instagram at Shannon Quarter Writes, and I'm on TikTok as Shannon is Nurturing AF. And I am about to change it so that all three of those are the same thing, because
yeah, that is some rough branding right there.
It is. Yes. Please come up with one funny thing that I can make that is not any of those. Then I can make all three of them.
So the answer is, if they want to find you online, they're tough. They can't.
Yeah, they're fucked. Well.
All right. Well, it's as ever. It's so lovely to speak with you. I love doing this. And I'm so glad that we get to every 2 weeks.
Me too.
Maybe someday we'll get to do it even more. But for now, I'll take what we can get.
I would love that.
All right. Any closing words for the nice people at home?
No, but I am definitely going to think about this ahead of time next time so that we don't just sit here and go, okay.
Well, I have three words for the people at home before we say goodbye. Kathleen Turner's Bush. All right. Bye, everybody. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
This has been another House of Barbarism podcast, written, recorded, edited, and produced by Document of Barbarism, your friendly neighborhood mountain man fairy princess. Remember,
There is no document of civilization which is not, at the same time, a documenta barbarism. Mwah.